Number one, the gospel according to John, chapter number one. And a good crowd on a Sunday morning. I appreciate y'all being here. And man, we had some more friend day cards turned in. And I'm still waiting on somebody to take me out to dinner. Amen. And man, y'all keep working. Of course, next Sunday is our friend day. Boy, what a blessing that is, man. Y'all been all the work, all the labor, everything will be turned in. And we'll reap the fruit of our labor this coming up Sunday, and we need to be in prayer about that thing. Everybody, now listen unto God. Unless you want me to send, I'm talking about a search warrant out for you. You be here next Sunday. I don't want to have 50-11 visitors show up and you not even be here. Somebody say amen. Y'all understand? Miss Gail, be here. Okay, amen. Everybody, the deacon is going to be here next Sunday. Amen. Well, everybody should be here. Miss Shaver, you're going to be here next Sunday. Praise God. And it'll be a good time, so be working towards that end. Of course, this Saturday's our big soul winning blitz. Those of you that signed up for that, you should have your map. If you don't have your map, I'm going to pretend like I gave you your map and you lost it. I appreciate that courtesy laugh there, amen. I feel like I'm at Hal's Anderson. Amen. And old courtesy laugh, praise God. If you won't laugh at my jokes, I'll preach hard this morning, amen. I tried to give y'all an easier route to go there, but y'all didn't take it. But so be working towards all of those things. Be praying about it. And I feel like that's all I need to say. Of course, there's a sign-up sheet back there on the table in front of the sound booth. We're taking a group out to Brother Philbeck's church in at Love Valley Baptist Church in Kings Mountain, North Carolina. January, I think that's the 16th through the 18th is when we'll actually be there. It's a Wednesday, Thursday, and a Friday. And a big camp meeting, good preaching. Brother Billy Mitchell and Brother Jeff Ledbetter and a bunch of other preachers going to be out there preaching that week. They'll have morning services and evening services. So, man, it'll be time worth going, I promise that. You'll leave there and you'll say, man, I was glad I went to that thing. And it'll be right on, praise God. John chapter 1, let's stand this morning and get ready to read. John 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 15. Let's be honest about it. We could read all of John chapter 1, and we'd be doing fine. Somebody say amen right there. I like, when I got saved, Brother Nate, I started reading. I read the Gospel of Matthew. It was the first book of the Bible I ever read. I didn't have necessarily anybody coaching me through reading the Bible. I really, honest to God, I don't think anybody had to tell me to read the Bible when I got saved. And just a desire that God born inside of my heart, praise God for it. And so I read Matthew's Gospel. How many of y'all ever read the Matthew's Gospel? Amen, in your Bible. And that God, it's good. Somebody say amen. All the Word of God's good. But I read it, and honest to God, I was, you know, he presents himself in a different way in Matthew's Gospel. He's presenting himself to the Jews. And so I went on to the next book. I went on and I read Mark. And unto God, when I got to Mark, I couldn't even remember what Matthew had to say about it in the first place. So I read Mark's account, and I got some good help out of it. But I was still up in the air about that thing. And so I went on, and I read Luke's gospel, and couldn't remember what Matthew or Mark had to say. And unto God, I had a hard time understanding what Luke was talking about. But I got to the gospel of John. I'm going to tell you what, and I don't understand. I am not claiming to have divine just all over me and understand. But I like that gospel of John. Yep. Amen. Amen. And I liked when I read, watch it in verse number 11, the Bible says he came into his own and his own received him not. But I liked that verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ain't that good right there? That means those of you that's here lost, if you'd receive him this morning, he'd make you a child of the king. We could sing that in the red book because we don't have the dead book. Somebody say amen. And we could sing about that. I'm a child of the king this morning. I'm glad I'm a child of the king. Praise God. Amen. Yes, sir. Good. It's good news. And so, boy, all the gospel, it's in this gospel that we find, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Thank God for the day I found out I didn't have to die and go to hell one day. I'm glad I found out this ain't all there had to be to it. I didn't have to live for the nasty now, but I could live for the sweet by and by, praise God. And boy, it was a good day in my life when I read John 10:9 that he was the door. It was a good day, Brother Brian, when I read John 14:6. He said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He said, no man cometh through the Father but by me. I found the door that morning. And I walked into it, and I want to say there's been no regrets for 12 years now. I'm glad I got born again. And if you'll look up in here at me now, and if you'd get saved this morning, you'd have no regrets about it.
Amen. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Verse number 15, the Bible says, John. This talking about, now you got two different Johns here. You've got John, the beloved disciple. He's the author under divine inspiration of the whole gospel according to John. But now he's referring to John the Baptist, one of my favorite characters of the Bible. Somebody say amen. And he said, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but I like this, praise God. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? The Bible says, and he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou thyself? And he said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the path of the Lord. Praise God, the way of the Lord. Amen. As said the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees. Verse number 25 said, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is whose coming is after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Betharba, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Boy, it had been a long time coming, almost 4,000 years in the making, but Jesus shows up right on time to take away the sin of the world. Verse number 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. How quickly, before we pray, I'll have you to notice three verses all repeating the same phrase. Of course, you've probably picked up on it by now, but verse number 15, and the latter part, the man was John the Baptist stated that he that cometh after me is preferred before me. Do you see that? And then again in verse number 27, the Bible says, he it is who coming after me is preferred before me. Again, also repeated in verse number 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. I want to preach this morning on the Baptist preference of life. Amen. And boy, I was thinking about this, about John the Baptist making those statements that he was preferring Jesus before himself, before his own life. We could say about John the Baptist that he loved not his life even until the death, praise God. He died loving God. Boy, I like that. And so I'll give you the message. We'll develop the thought, and hopefully we'll be helped by the time it's all over with. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Now, bless the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that you'd fill me, God, with the Holy Ghost of God. Help me to preach and to speak those things that you'd have me to say. And Lord, I pray that this congregation of listeners today, God, give us listening ears. Lord, give us obedient hearts this morning to receive and appropriate the Word of God in our lives. I pray for those that are lost inside the service this morning. God, would you save them? God, would you show them who it is that John was preferring before himself? And God, I pray that they'd come to know him today as their personal Lord and Savior. And God, I pray for us that have been saved. God, help us, as Paul the Apostle declared, that we might know him and the power of his resurrection. God, help us, and we'll praise you for all this done. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. John the Baptist states here three times that the one that was coming after him was preferred before him, for he was before me. Verse number 15, verse number 27, and verse number 30. John the Baptist is recording out of his very is recorded as stating out of his very own mouth that the person that was coming after him was more important than himself. Now, I like the fact that whenever the Pharisees question John the Baptist, you'll find them asking him and questioning him here in the passage of Scripture that we just read. And the Bible says in verse number 19, this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" At verse number 20, he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they continued questioning him. And the Bible says they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." And art thou that prophet? And he answered, "No." Now, I want to help you this morning. If you'd understand that while all the words of God are inspired, not every statement of the Bible is in truth. Now, you listen to what I'm saying. I understand everything God ever said is exactly right, is truth. I'm not preaching heresy this morning. If I could help you understand, the book of Psalms declares that there is no God. Are you understanding? And to take that little verse out of context, somebody, even an atheist, could build theology and state that even the Bible declares that there is no God. But we know that to be a false statement. In other words, we know that statement, Brother Nate, to be a statement that it has no truth inside of it. Now, the record is true. The Bible says that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You've got it right, buddy. If you're here this morning, you don't believe in God, God says you're a fool. Amen. By the way, I've never met an atheist in an ICU ward. Somebody say amen. I've never met one atheist laying on their deathbed. They love when their health's going good and everything's fine. They love to declare that they don't believe in God. But before death comes knocking their way, they finally have a change of heart. Amen. You understand what I'm saying this morning, that every statement recorded in the Bible may not be exactly true. Different folks throughout the Old Testament declared that their God was the God to serve. We know not that not to be true, although the record of it is true. They did state those facts, but we know that there's only one true and living God. Somebody say amen. What I'm trying to drive home to you this morning is the fact that whenever these Pharisees asked John the Baptist if he was that prophet, when he replied no, he was doing that out of a true heart and out of a humble heart, but he told something that was not true. And for John the Baptist indeed was that prophet that should come, but he had not realized and that he was in that stature of life. All I'm trying to say to you this morning is thank God for a humble preacher. Amen. Thank God. Listen, when they asked John the Baptist, when they said, "Well, who are you?" No, they continued on with that thing. In verse number 22, they said, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou thyself?" Well, I can see a lot of Baptist preachers having a field day there. They'd say, "Oh, my name's a Dr. So-and-so." You know, you ever seen them preachers got so many letters after their name? Look like they're trying to redo the alphabet. Amen. I can just see it now. Here's the limelight that he's been waiting for. Here's his opportunity to have a worldwide platform to be used in meetings all over the country for God to get glory out of his life. But he doesn't stand and state his credentials. He doesn't declare his miraculous birth, nor his diet. He doesn't, Brother Brian, speak of his separation necessarily or go into deep theological conversations. No, sir. But John the Baptist answers in verse number 23, he says, "But I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." He did, praise God, what every Baptist preacher ought to be doing today, preaching the word of God, standing behind that blessed old rugged cross and declaring, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. I like that, praise God. And we find inside, by the way, just anybody new this morning may not understand this. I am a Baptist this morning. I'm not a Methodist. Somebody say amen. I'm not a sprinkling person. Amen. We don't ordain homosexuals into the ministry around here. Amen. We're not pro-abortion around here. In fact, we're anti-murder. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I was riding by, God help us. I'm talking about even creeping over into the Baptist circles. I was riding out of church this morning, and I passed by the the Free Will Baptist College there in Mount Olivet. Now, so where they're having a seminar, I'm going to get a few of you fellas to accompany me with me to this particular seminar. They're calling this seminar Islamophobia, How to Understand Your Islamic Friend. I want to go understand them. Somebody say amen. And I want them to understand something about me, bless God. I want them to understand that the God that I serve says they're going straight to a devil's hell. So somebody say amen right there. Listen, I want you to know this morning, I'm not an Episcopalian. I'm definitely not a Catholic this morning. I didn't come, amen, friend. I'm not a Lutheran. I didn't come from no Reformation. I was here before Calvinists and before Catholics ever came on the scene. I'm telling you, it was my heritage that baptized the very Son of God. It was my heritage that was led off. I'm talking about and tortured and humiliated and burned at the stake. God's always had a remnant. And may I say, that remnant has always been a group of Baptists and adhered to the faiths, the fundamentals of the doctrine. I like Baptists, praise God. Now you say you're tooting your own horn. Somebody ought to toot on it. Somebody say amen. And if you ain't got enough backbone, praise God, I'll do the tooting. Amen. I'm telling John the Baptist stood and he said, though, and watch his message. He said, praise God, I ain't the important one. You know what good Baptist preachers do? They point folks to the Savior. It's not about them. It's not about their organization. Oh my, we live in a day and age where it's all about the biggest buildings, the prettiest stained glass windows, the fanciest parking lots. Listen, it's all about how many numbers a person can have on the inside of the church. No, sir, that's not what real Baptist preachers are supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be pointing men and women and boys and girls to the Savior, from the front pew to the back pew, from the youngest to the oldest, even the fattest to the skinniest. Somebody say amen. We ought to be pointing all men to the Savior this morning. And John the Baptist stated three times in John's record of chapter number 1, he said, for he is preferred before me. The word preference speaks of two things. It meant that he was more important. It meant that he was more worthy, that he was to receive the priority and the preeminence out of life. Jesus stated it out of his very own mouth in Matthew 6 and 33, and he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Amen. Can I ask you this morning, what do you prefer? Amen. Now, a lot of you saying this one word, preacher, I prefer Jesus, do you now? Amen. How much of your Bible did you read this morning? Amen. Where were you at last Wednesday night? Amen. As I was talking to one of my family members yesterday, he's talking about how they do some kind of sporting activities on Wednesday night. And one Wednesday night, he couldn't make it because his child was sick and he had to stay home so his wife could go to church. I said, where were you at, you lazy bum? Wednesday night's church night. Somebody say amen. Dr. Lee Robertson said, if you change the time of a service, it ain't nothing more than compromise. Say amen. Hey, we have Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. That's Sunday morning, Sunday school, 9:45, preaching 10:45. Sunday night, 6 o'clock, and it'll be that way until Jesus comes. Amen. You say, I listened to the Mormons a while back. By the way, I'm not a Mormon. Somebody say amen. Bunch of polygamists, bunch of want to marry a bunch of wives. Somebody say, I have a hard enough time with the one I got. Somebody say amen. And, you know, bunch of wild-eyed, bunch of stinking, bunch of Brigham Young. Somebody say amen. I wouldn't watch the BYU television show. I'm talking about that channel on direct. I wouldn't watch that. Hey, if there's a last thing on TV to watch, I'd rather watch I'd rather put some rabbit ears up there and watch it snow all day. Somebody say amen. And you know, a bunch of Mormons, they a few years ago when gas prices started going up, they moved their Sunday night service and canceled it, and they just have one big lump sum just to make it easier on folks. I'm here to tell you, serving God ain't never been easy, and it ain't about to get easy. And if you make it easy, you ain't nothing but a stinking liberal and a modernist. Amen, friend. And you don't know what church is supposed to be about in the first place. Amen. I'm talking about the Baptist preference of life. I'm talking about the way it's supposed to be. I'm talking about Jesus. I put a stamp of approval on us when he said, I'm not going to call the Methodists and I'm not going to call the Presbyterians to baptize my son. He said, but I'm going to call a voice of one crying in the wilderness. Amen. And there's a Baptist preacher, praise God. Amen. Now, when John said he's preferred before me, he spoke of time. In other words, watch it with me in your Bible in John 1 and verse 15. John makes a statement. He says, "This was he of whom I spake." By the way, that's what he's a preaching on. Yeah. On Jesus. But watch this crowd when they get off and preach on Jesus. They want to preach. By the way, this Reverend Jesse Jackson and bunch of hoopla around. Look up in here. They wouldn't know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ if you slapped them in the face with it. Martin Luther King Jr. never preached the gospel message his whole entire Reverend career. He preached the social gospel. We're all supposed to be on the same plane. Yeah, we are on the same plane. We're all going to hell. Amen. And all of these other, and it's all about politics, and it's all about racism and all this. I thought yellow, black, and white, they all precious in his sight. Somebody said, I didn't know that was the main thing. The Bible, John said, this is what I've been telling y'all about. Amen, right there, praise God. John said, I'm preaching about Jesus today. I can see about that pulpit, praise God. I like pulpits. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about I can see him up there. He didn't have on some multicolored shirt. Somebody say amen. He got up there, praise God, with some leather and some camel's hair. I can see honey dripping out of his mouth. Maybe the leg off from a grasshopper coming out of his teeth. And he said, praise God, I'm here to tell you today. Same thing I told you last week. That it's all about Jesus. Jesus Christ, and if you don't repent of your sin and place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go to hell, buddy. And it didn't matter who came out there. It didn't matter if somebody come from the whorehouse or from the White House. It didn't matter if they come from the drug house or the liquor house. And John the Baptist got out there, and here's his opportunity. He's been watching in the third row of the balcony back there. A government official has been accompanying and frequenting his services. His name's Herod. He comes in very dignified, and he sits. John the Baptist has even noticed, perhaps, that he's even shed a tear during the singing of "Just As I Am." But John the Baptist gets up there, not afraid to offend somebody. He gets, I'm talking about friend, he went up there tiptoeing through the lily pads. But he got up there and he said, "Herod, I want you to know, bless God, you're an adulterer. And it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife." He said, "I'm telling you, you're shacked up and you ain't right, bless God." Don't you like that kind of preaching? As I was watching TV this morning, I cut the TV on. Y'all pray for me. I got an addiction, amen. And I cut the TV on. And I was going to look at the weather and see if a bill was going to blow down today or not, amen. We'd have still met. Somebody say amen. Miss Elizabeth, there she is. She called me. She said, "Preacher, we still having church?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I figured you'd say that." And I turned on the TV this morning, and it was on Channel 50. And old John Hagee was up there. I wouldn't spit on him. He's on fire. He's up there, and he thought he had something going on up there. And a bunch of liberal, bunch of somebody. But hey, look up in here. I'm not a modernist fan this morning. Amen. I burn NIV Bibles. It makes good firewood. Somebody say amen. That's about the only thing that's good for him. It's too thin to use in the bathroom. Somebody say amen. Amen. Bunch of Rick Warren. Look up in here. And Tim LaHaye. Most of y'all know more about Tim LaHaye than you know about Jesus. Bunch of you'll watch a Left Behind movie, but you won't read your Bible. Preaching time now. Emma! I'm just telling about the Baptist preference of life. He said, "Well, he's preferred before me." It's all about Jesus. It's all about the Son. By the way, Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I draw all men unto myself." Not your little group. Focus on the family. I didn't know we were supposed to be focusing on the family. I thought we were supposed to be focusing on Jesus. Yeah, yeah. Bible said, Colossians 3:2, set your affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Old Jack Van Impe, he's got a localized ministry. He just talks about prophecy. That's why he's so far off the page of Scripture. He believes even a Catholic's going to heaven. Somebody say amen right there. Hey, a Catholic ain't no more saved, amen, than a jaybird saved. Amen. You say, "Well, what if they got saved and they slipped into it?" Matthew chapter 24 said, "If it were possible to deceive the very elect." If it were possible. Tells me it ain't possible. You know why? Because salvation ain't something man conjured up. Salvation is something God puts in. Somebody say, it's about being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I feel like preaching a little bit this morning. Amen. I'm telling you this morning. Hey, amen. You know why an Indian looks different than I am? Because he's born different. You know why a black person looks different than I do? Hey, it's because they's born different. You know why you ought to look different than a lost person? Because you got born different. And if you don't look different, bless God, something wrong somewhere. Hey, man, right there, praise God. He got up there, he said, it's all about him. It ain't about me. It ain't about my clique. It ain't about my convention. It ain't about any of it. It's all about Jesus Christ, hallelujah. Amen. And he made that statement, verse 5. He said, for he is preferred before me. But then he said, watch it now. He said, for he was before me. Now, hold on. I've read my Bible a couple of times. I read where John the Baptist was born 6 months before Jesus. Huh? 6 months. John the Baptist was born 6 months. 6 months. Are y'all getting that? Half a year. 6 months. Well, what in the world? See, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's right. John said, but he was before me. And it ain't like he just messed up saying that, Brother Brown. But then he turned around in verse number 37. He said, just in case y'all didn't hear me. I feel like that sometimes. I feel like I got to say the same thing. I preach long. I preach long Wednesday night. I wouldn't have to preach near as long as y'all get it the first time I said it. Huh? Amen. He said, I can see him right now. He said, man, they look kind of cockeyed when I said that. He said, let me go ahead and back up. Praise God. Amen. Brother Bob, that's what we do when we get hung up on a stump. Praise God. We circle around her. Huh? I ain't losing that lure. Somebody say amen. We're going to get her off there. Praise God. Amen. Hey, John the Baptist said, I don't think y'all got that. He said, listen, I know I was born 6 months before him, but I'm telling you, praise God, he was before me. Amen. There wasn't no mistaking in the crowd. He had done and declared in verse number 29, behold the Lamb of God. He is pointing right at him. By the way, John the Baptist was a preacher that pointed at folks. Huh? That's what they said. He said, I don't mind that, but I don't like that name calling. You wouldn't have liked John the Baptist. And you wouldn't have liked Jesus. Most of y'all don't like him anyway. Huh? Is everybody all right? Amen. And he said, behold. He didn't just, y'all, are y'all getting this right here? He didn't just say, well, behold the Lamb of God. Huh? Jesus wrote in the sand later on. John the Baptist ain't writing in the sand. Y'all, he said, hey, everybody, calm down. Stop going to the bathroom all at one time. He said, hey, look. It's the Lamb of God. That word, behold, that means the sound of trumpet. He's calling attention. He said, boys, what I'm about to say is real important. He said, if you miss, you ever heard a preacher say, them preachers get up here and preach, they'll say, now, if you don't get anything else I've said, get this right here. That's what John the Baptist is doing. He said, I know I preached against adultery and shacking up. I preached against the lottery. Amen, and we need some preachers to preach against that mess. Amen. By the way, how's it working for you buying them pick five numbers? How's it worked out for you? Anybody in here got rich? I ain't read where one of the winners has tithed yet. What makes you think you'll tithe? You ain't even tithed yet anyway. Makes you going to tithe, you get that kind of money. Look up in here. Amen. I ain't looking down on the floor right now. Up in here is where it's happening at. Amen. Hey, listen, after he got through preaching on all of that, and telling them how wrong they were because they didn't go to the temple the other day. Huh? Amen. After he got through it out, he said, now, if you don't get anything else that I've said, get this. Behold, the Lamb of God. Take away the sins of the world. That's good. Ain't that good? Said, he's preferred before me. He said, because he was before me. Man, does that confuse anybody else? I thought Jesus was born 6 months after him, but now he's saying he's before. Well, I found you can back up to John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Huh? And the Word was with God. Is that what John 1:1 said? And the Word was God. Verse number 2, I believe I got that right down. I believe I learned that off them Scorby tapes. And the same was in the beginning with God. We could skip down, Brother Brian, about 11 more verses. We could go over there. Listen, verse number 14. And the Word became flesh. That Logos, it became flesh and dwelt among us. And you say, how did he dwell among us? Well, in Matthew chapter number 1, Matthew chapter number 2, Luke, and in Luke's gospel, and we could also go back to Isaiah in chapter number 7 to see how it happened. We can see that he was born of a virgin. That's how he dwelt among us. Amen. Yes, sir. Absolutely. He was born. I'm talking about Jesus Christ was born like never man had ever been born. When you celebrate Christmas, we're not celebrating Santa Claus. Now, don't kink me up on this. I am Santa Claus. Somebody say, man, look at my credit card. I'm still paying for Santa Claus. Somebody say amen. If you don't believe in Santa Claus, look up in here. Ho, ho, ho. Somebody say amen. I am Santa Claus. Don't tell me these bunch of spirits, but they try to say that. So they try to cram it down. Well, if you was really spiritual, you wouldn't have Santa Claus. Well, if you were real spiritual, you'd quit looking at me like that.
Yeah.
Huh? Are y'all getting this? Amen. But well, watch it. When we celebrate Christmas, we're not celebrating Santa Claus or Christmas trees. Just because I got one don't mean I'm worshiping it. Hey, why don't you go jump off a cliff somewhere? Quit tainting society with your thought patterns. That's why we're so dumb now. It's because y'all think just because somebody puts up a cedar tree in their house, I like the way it looks. Is everybody okay? Hey, man, by the way, if you're against that, why don't we just start burning? Why are you so green anyway then? Won't get on me just because I throw bottles at stop signs. There's no sheriff in here this morning, is there? God, help us. Are y'all getting this? Amen. Said he was before me because the word became flesh. Now watch it. That word, the Bible said, John 1:1, said it was in the beginning. Didn't say it was created in the beginning because I found this out. Said that he was a priest, not after the order of the Aaronic priesthood. No, sir. After the order of Melchizedek, who is without father and without mother. Without beginning of days, without end of days, came on the scene, goes on, does whatever he wants to do. Amen, friend. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the self-existing one. Amen. Before time. Come on the scene. That's good right there, ain't it? And then watch it. Not only does that word preference have to do with time, but it has to do with dignity. He said, if I've said anything wrong, he said, he'll correct me. He's right and I'm wrong. Wouldn't it do good for some of us to get a hold of that? A bunch of us walk in here all highbrow like we know everything. Huh? By the way, that's why you didn't have to come to Sunday school this morning, because you already know what he's teaching on. Huh? Amen. Yes, sir. They say, no, I was just real tired. How tired are you going to be in the morning at 8 o'clock when it's time for you to be at work? See, what the problem is you're not preferring him. You're preferring you. You're preferring your bed. Amen. You're preferring your TV at night, sir. That's why you can't read your Bible. Ma'am, amen, ma'am. That's exactly who you're preferring. Amen. Yeah. Got everything. Oh, Martha's in there. Boy, she's clanging pots. Yeah. Hey, I'm doing something. I want everybody to know she's sounding like a trumpet. But old Mary's down there. She said, I think I missed a spot, Lord. Let me get that. The voice of one crying in the world. Why don't you start making him more important than you're important? Most folks, if they ain't got some position in a church, they don't want to do nothing. Huh? If they ain't got, if they can't let somebody see them do something, huh? Amen. Yes, sir. But John the Baptist says he's everything. By the way, it was John the Baptist said he must increase, and I must decrease. Huh? He won't ashamed. Hey, listen. He won't ashamed to back down and say, God, you, it's your glory. And sure, you go to most of these conferences and everything else folks have around here, and preacher get him here and say, let me tell you what I've done. I've built a church of such and such, and I've built this, and I've got this, and I've done that. And I thought it was about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. By the way, if it's about Jesus, it ain't about your family. And it ain't about your ingrown toenail. Amen. Amen, friend. I mean, y'all be surprised at some of the conversations. Amen. Time, dignity. Watch it. Let me give to you three things on the Baptist preference of life. Number one, John the Baptist knew this. And I've already alluded to it, but jot it down, in his age, there was no beginning. He said he was before me. By the way, he mentioned this in John chapter number 8. You could turn there later on this afternoon and read John chapter 8. Them Pharisees didn't like him that much. Huh? Because he exposed who they were. By the way, these big-time preachers, they don't like it when you expose them to be who they are. That's why Jack Scott's having a hard time in prison right now. Are y'all listening to that? Amen. And so Jesus over there in John chapter 8, and they're trying to, man, just get him on everything. And they bring up Abraham. They start talking about Abraham. They said, Abraham, this, Abraham. We belong to Abraham. I can see him now. He said, Abraham. They said, yeah, he's a good one. He said, but watch this. He said, John 8, I believe it's around verse 58. I may be off on that. He said, before Abraham was, he said, I am. Now, you do a little digging. You do a little digging, you can probably come up with it better than I can. But when he made that statement, he was talking about 3,000 years earlier. When Jesus made that statement, he said, God, help us. Are y'all getting that? And by the way, the religious crowd didn't need a Bible commentator to explain that to them. They picked up stones in the very next verse and got ready to kill him for it. Because they understood more than what this bunch of Jehovah's Witnesses and what these bunch of liberalists and all of these kind of Amen, friend. They understood more. I'm talking about these religious leaders here, understood more than what our crowd's understanding today. They knew that whenever he made that statement, or y'all listen, he was saying, I'm God. Somebody else tell me somebody that was alive 3,000 years and still alive. Is everybody okay? Amen. He said, before Abraham was, I am. By the way, he didn't say I was neither. Are y'all listening right there? He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham, y'all like that King James Bible? Well, I like that King James Bible. I said I like the King James Bible. King James, look up in your King James only. Hey man, on our website is going to be done this week. I know I've been telling y'all that for 5 weeks now, but it's going to be done. And on the front page of that website, Brother Josh, I got a picture of that King James Bible. Amen. And a picture of that red book. They almost go hand in hand, don't they? You can learn some doctrine out of that red book too. Amen. Hey man, don't get kinked up on me on that. In his age, there was no beginning. There's none before him. In his age. Are y'all getting that? Watch it. What John means when he says it in verse 15, watch it. He says it in verse John 1:15 and John 1:30. He says, for he was before me. What he's talking about, jot it down now, in his age there's no beginning. He's talking about in reference to his person. John's saying he came on the scene before I came on the scene. We need to understand that this morning. That as far as his person is concerned, I don't think we're sacrilegious to say this morning, but he's older than us. Are y'all getting that? See what we do in society, Brother Brian, is if somebody's elderly, we give them honor. We respect them because snow on the mountaintop represents wisdom. And we say, man, somebody's been around, they know more than us. By the way, parents, that's why you dictate what your kids do, or you ought to be able to dictate, because you've been there, you've done that. Are y'all listening? Most of the time, I've seen a lot of older people that are still stupid. Are y'all listening? But for the most part, you know, 50-year-old mama still dressing out of American Eagle. We'll preach on that tonight if y'all come back. But most of the time, when the person gets older, Brother Brad, they get more wisdom, they get smarter, and they can give instruction to folks. Man, how much instruction do you think God could give? He's older than you. He's old. In fact, he's older than your mama, and he's older than your great-granddaddy. In fact, he's older than Adam. Are y'all listening? Amen. Somebody said he's older than dirt. Yeah, he is older than dirt. Huh? Because I found in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. And guess what they was before they weren't nothing? They was God. If you were to go back to Genesis 1:1, right there on the platform where God created the heavens and the earth, and you were to step back, I don't care how far, I'm talking about eons ago, if you was to step back, you'd find one thing. God. In his person, he outdates us. Watch it, in problems. I believe when John said he's before me, I believe he was understanding the precepts behind in his personage he was old, but also as far as problems. In other words, God can solve what you got going on. God can solve. So many times a young person would come up to an elderly person, maybe a role model, a figure of authority, whether it be a parent, a teacher, somebody like that, or y'all listen, they'll come up to some prestigious figure in their life and they'll have a problem and they can't solve it. Little kids, when they can't get their shoes untied, who do they come to? They better not come to me. I cut them off the pocket knife. But who do they come to? Huh? Amen. And as a younger couple, when I get into trouble, I go to my parents. I say, man, how in the world can I borrow your credit card? Seriously, somebody say amen. Huh? We go to somebody. Are y'all listening to me? Hey, listen, for every problem, listen to this will help you. For every problem you got in life right now, he's got the answer. Amen. But hey, Sister Brandy, if it's a marital problem, he's got the solution. If it's a child rearing problem, he's got the answers for that. Amen. And time out ain't one of them. Somebody say amen right there. Huh? Amen. And promising, I've heard parents promise until they're blue in the face, I'm going to whoop you. Just go ahead and whoop the fire out of them. Somebody say amen. Y'all listen. I might preach on child rearing tonight too. That'd go in good with mama's dressing out of American Eagle when they're 50 years old. Huh? In his age, there was none before him.
Watch it. Number two, in his announcement, there was none better. In his announcement, there was none better. You know what them scribes said? You know, here comes Jesus. Hey, by the way, Jesus was a preacher. Are y'all getting this right here? Don't die off on me, bless God. Amen. Hey, I said Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was a preacher. I found in Matthew, amen, friend, in Matthew chapter number 4, in came Jesus preaching the kingdom of God. I found that he preached the same message that his forerunner preached, and that is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Mark's gospel, it said, preach, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He preached the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of the church, praise God. He preached to every creature. Somebody say, amen. It didn't matter, yellow, black. I'm talking about it didn't matter what descent, what economic status, hey, what trailer park, or what rich neighborhood they came from. Hey, Jesus stood up and he preached the word of God. I'm talking about preached it straight, preached it hard. He looked at them bunch of hypocrites. I'm talking about Pharisees. And he said, you white-walled sepulchers. Oh, you're on the outside. You're pretty and you're painted up. You got your makeup on and your Sunday outfit on. He said, but on the inside, you're full of dead men's bones. Huh? Amen. In John chapter number 7, verse 46, he said, that them officers, that is those religious folks, he said, never man spake like this man. You think they'd heard somebody? You think they'd heard somebody? Boy, they had heard somebody. They had heard Nicodemus, no doubt. They had heard old Gamaliel over there in Acts. Huh? Teacher, I'm talking about the one that trained Paul, the apostle, out of the Old Testament scriptures. They had heard the scholars. They had heard all the religious leaders that day. And they said, man, ain't nobody ever said it like that. Huh? Amen. By the way, I grew up in church. I grew up, we went to churches, and we tried different churches. We got dissatisfied with the church we grew up in. And I remember me and my mama going around trying to try other churches and all kinds of stuff. But when I knock them because I've been there. And don't get, hey, man, is everybody okay?
Yeah.
And we tried all of, but I remember that Sunday morning. Man, my uncle died. He's an alcoholic, lived a drunkard's life, and he died. And two Sundays after that, we visited an independent, fundamental Baptist church. I went, boy, I put my khakis on that day, old button up shirt. I ain't wearing a tie. Somebody said, I wouldn't wear a tie now if I want a preacher. Somebody said, amen. And went in. And I sat down. Ma'am, I sat down on the second row of that Baptist church right beside my mama. And I thought, man, I'm something. Look at me, boy, got my nice shoes on. Them Timberlands. Somebody say, man, on them Timberlands. And I sat there in them khakis, boy, in that dress shirt. You had some Timberlands too, didn't you? Don't lie about that. And I said, boy, I'm something. And the music they sang, and I was like, I don't know about that. I like a country boy, can't survive myself. You know, they took an offering about. I said, I don't know about all that. That money on that tobacco, farm was hard earned. Somebody say, man. And you know, they's shaking hands. I don't know y'all, but that preacher got up there, and I said, man, ain't never a man spake like this man. You know why? Because the truth of the content of the message. He didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. He told me what I had to hear. He told me what I need. Hey, you know what that preacher told me that morning? He told me what I wouldn't tell my own self. That's fine. I didn't need it. That's fine. I was living a good life. I'd never been drunk. I'd been addicted to cigarettes. I'd never done drugs. I'd never done life. I thought I was fine. That preacher got it. He said, you ain't fine, boy. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there's none righteous. No, not one. Isaiah 53 said, all we like sheep have gone astray, and we've turned everyone to his own way. Amen, friend. I'd done wrong. Amen, friend. I'd messed up. I'd missed the mark. Amen. And except, amen. That Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? I found out that morning what I had to do to get saved. Had to lay aside pride and preconceived notions about salvation. I had to lay aside my religiosity, my background in denominations of that. I had to lay all of that aside and say, here I am, Lord.
Amen.
And if you do that this morning, he'd save you. That's why some of y'all come in here and you won't do it, because you're holding on tight to everything you got. And you can hold on, and you can drag it right into hell with you. In his announcement, there was none better. There's none better than him. Over there, hey, listen, this ain't the only time. This ain't the only time they recognized that he spoke like never a man spake. I mean, everywhere he went, he drew crowds. I mean, synagogues, folks lost their gathering because they were following around the dear Son of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 29 says the same thing. Now watch it. His announcement, in his announcement, he was better. Watch it, the power of his message. You ever see anybody had more power on him than what he did? Huh? Amen. His power. He said, amen. Listen. Can't you see it now? They're out on the Sea of Galilee. Everything's fine. Sun's shining. Everything going fine. And then all of a sudden, here comes a star. Waves is now boisterous. I mean, terrible. And the disciples said this. They said, man, what manner of man is this? He said, peace be still. He said, what manner of man is this? That even the winds and the seas obey him. Power. Power in his message. By over there, they got off that sea. They traveled over to the land of the Gadarenes. Over there in Gadara. Here come that maniac, the Bible says. That man, I'm talking about devil worship. I'm talking about demonized. Tattoos all over his body. So look up in here. Ate up with, I'm cutting himself. I'm talking about walking in the tombs, man, just crazy like. And in his message, he's powerful. Find that man just a little bit later on sitting at the feet of Jesus saying, tell me more, sir. You ever seen an AA meeting do that for somebody? I ain't never seen that happen. Hey, man. Yeah, amen, friend. You ever seen Hollywood help somebody like that? I ain't never seen Hollywood. You ever seen a bottle of alcohol help somebody like that? You ever seen drugs? No, sir. In his announcement, it ain't none better than him, because he comes on the scene and there's power in his message. Power, by the way, power to redeem, power to regenerate, and power to reconcile, power to justify, power to take your past and erase it and give you a brand new start on life, power to forgive you of every sin that you've ever committed, hey, power to restore you into a rightful relationship with the God that breathed into your nostrils, had the breath of life. He's got power in his message. There's purpose in his message. He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They are whole, need not a physician, but them that are sick. Amen, friend. And the Bible says, Paul said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Huh? Why did Jesus Christ come? He didn't come to walk on the sea, although he did that. He didn't come to call Lazarus out of the tomb, although he did that. He didn't come to feed 5,000 with, amen. He didn't come for all of that. I tell you why he came, because he knew you would need a Savior. He knew you were helpless without him, and that you needed a Savior. That's why he came. Jot it down. In his age, there was none. In the beginning, there's no beginning. Amen. In his announcement, there's none better. In his accomplishments, there's none bigger. What did he accomplish? Huh? Now watch it, Brother Brian. He came. Watch it. What John the Baptist say in John 1:29? We could trust him. He said, behold, the Lamb of God which cometh to take away. He came to do something. I wonder, did he accomplish it? Well, sure he did. Huh? Huh? Sure he did. You say, how do you know he accomplished what he came to do? Because he got up. Because he got up. The whole, listen, our whole salvation, it's thank God that he died for us. Can I get an amen right there? How many of y'all glad that Jesus Christ came and he died? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. And he said, how that Christ died according for our sins according to the scripture. I'm glad that he died. And I'm glad that he's buried inside a rich man's tomb. Somebody said, I'm glad he was buried. But listen, none of that has any bearing on me today. The only reason why I'm saved today, hey, listen, I know he was delivered for my trespasses, but he was raised for our justification. Amen. Hey, because God got up on the third day, he said, because I live, you'll live also. You know how I know everything's fine in heaven? You know how I know that the sacrifice was accepted? Because he ain't dead no more. He's not here. He arose just like he said. Hallelujah. Amen. And I could take you and I could show you the bones of Buddha and I could show you the bones of Muhammad. Hey, listen, I could show you the God of the Hare Krishnas. I'm talking about we could go all kinds of Joseph Smith's in the grave. Somebody say amen. Hey, listen, all these folks, they're dead. I'm talking about a Catholic priest. That's a Catholic priest. I'm talking about a Catholic pope. That's a Catholic pope have died and have been buried. Hey, but we can go to a garden tomb in
inside of Jerusalem. We could go there and we could walk inside and there'd be no bones there. Praise God. Amen, friend. By the way, his blood's preserved blood. It's on the mercy seat inside of heaven's courts. Amen. That's why he said, Mary, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He had a special delivery package I reserved straight for the courts of heaven. And he walked back in and he said, Father, he is finished. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. That water might have washed it down off the cross, but it would never wash it out of the records of heaven. That God's justice and God's means of punishment had been forever satisfied. The Bible says that he fulfilled the law. That is, he filled the law full of righteousness. He filled it full of holiness and of justice. Hey, I'm getting goosebumps on goosebumps. I'm telling you, praise God. And his accomplishment, there was none bigger. Folks have aspired and they've achieved great feats of life. They've climbed Mount Everest. They've crossed the seas. Not too long ago, there was a lady that was trying to swim from some island over into the mainland. And by the way, she didn't make it. So I say, man, there's great white sharks out there. Amen. And you know, folks have tried and some folks have failed. And some folks have actually achieved in their lifelong dreams. I'm sure folks have reached the financial status they'd always aspired for. I'm sure folks have achieved under fame and popularity and prestige like they wanted to, but no achievement has ever been reached, no accomplishment has ever been reached that ever outtops the fact that you and me ain't going to hell anymore. Amen. Behold the Lamb of God, which come and take the sins away from the whole world. Amen. Which take away the sins of the whole world. Amen. You that are lost here this morning, you're lost, but your sins have already been taken away. Huh? All you've got to do is receive that payment. John 1:12, but as many as receive him. Your problem this morning is not that your sins remain. Your sins not remaining anymore. They've been cast as far as the east is from the west. But if you don't get saved and you die, you don't receive that payment, then that account goes right back up to the due balance. And when you're brought up in Revelation chapter number 20, huh? You're brought up before the judge and the books, plural, are open, and we see just how sinful you really were. Jesus said they'll bind you hand and foot and cast you in outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But I'm here to tell you this morning, you don't have to go to that awful place, all because of the accomplishment of the Savior. He defeated sin. Huh? The Bible says that he spoiled principality. He destroyed, amen, for he destroyed separation. Huh? Amen. He abolished it. Are y'all getting this? Separated. We're not separated. He's broken down. Did y'all like that? He's broken down the middle wall of partition. What stood for so long in between us and our God, our sins that have separated us, that had pushed us so far away from God. The Bible says now we're made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're right there. We're right there. Now, what about this? I'm done preaching. What about this, though? What about being this close to heaven and going to hell? What about being reconciled this close and going to hell? Judas kissed the very door to heaven, but he died and went to his own place. That is the place that's reserved for every lost person in hell. There's a place for you. Revelation chapter number 20 says they'll have their part. Speaks of solitary confinement. Won't be no big party in hell. And there'll be no afterthought in hell. The only thing you'll wish when you get to hell is that you weren't there. And that at this invitation, this morning, in 2012, you'll wish that you'd gotten born again like the preacher said you could have. This morning, let's stand all across the building.